Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and this study in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, titled, The Power of His Resurrection. We are carefully working through this verse, phrase by phrase, and comparing Scripture with Scripture, as the Apostle Paul is building upon each point and showing us that each of these phrases are interconnected and required if the believer is to really walk in the truth and spirit of God's Word. To know Jesus is to know the power of His resurrection. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com or send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, titled, The Power of His Resurrection. This is part 1 of 2.
Philippians 3, if you want to turn there. We've got our own system. We're going to be dumping the whole... Well, I dumped cable TV for years, and then I had to... It was too good of a deal. It was practically free to get the dish with internet. And they changed all that, and so probably August will be my last month with Dish TV. So we've developed, you know, even though I do get the local channels and everything when there's decent weather and everything, but we've developed our own system for finding out the weather. For example, yesterday there were 10 black cows in the pasture and only one was standing, so that told us there was a 90% chance of rain. See? So you can figure out these things, and then the groundhog's going to tell us how much more winter we have and so forth. And you want to know what direction the wind's going, you lick your finger and put it in the air, right? See?
And if you bring your dog in, you find out if
it's That's true. You bring your dog in, you find out whether... So stay tuned. After the Bible study, we'll have Stephen share some of his wisdom. So let's open with a word of prayer before we get into our Bible study this morning. Father, we thank you for this time in your Word. Thank you for everyone who is able to watch online with the live stream. We pray that it'll go uninterrupted. We've been having issues there, but beyond that, these messages heard on radio and internet, and we just pray, Lord, that those who hear will receive the truth of your Word, but always testing what is said by the Word of God itself as our final authority. And when we say Word of God, we mean King James Bible. And we just thank you for this infallible book and the infallible author, and ask the Holy Spirit's help as we learn his words. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, we're... in Philippians 3, and we're looking at verse 10, and the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection. What you're basically getting is a three-point sermon on verse 10, but it's given over a three-week period. Now, there's sometimes where a preacher can take the 3 points that are given in the text and give them all about 10 or 15 minutes and comes up with a 45-minute sermon. That works fine, but this... In this verse, the phrase, that I may know him, was too important, and I hope you saw that in our previous study, to skip. So we talked about how that to know God was more than just to know God exists and to know something about God, but was to know him on a personal level, like you should know your spouse if you're married. Or you should know your family growing up, mother, father, siblings. Sadly, a lot of people don't know what that means, but that's the ideal. And the previous study, we focused on that desire that Paul had, that I may know him. And then he continues in verse 10. Let's just pick up there and read that with me. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And just as much as people don't have a real understanding what it means to really know God, it's just a fact that too few professing Christians take time to grasp the meaning of those words, the power of his resurrection. It's an amazing thing in my own life, how that you read the Bible and go through, and there's so much that stands out. And then you go back in and you read through, and there's so much that stands out. Year after year, as I read through the Bible, and then I'll see something, and it'll just kind of blow my socks off.
Yeah.
And recently in our study with Daniel, I had taught through Daniel once before, and so we're going through it again. And we were in Daniel 8, and it talked about the voice speaking and another voice speaking. So it wasn't Gabriel. And it just dawned on me that it wasn't Gabriel and it wasn't Daniel, and it didn't say it was the Lord, so who was it?
Amen.
And it very well could have been just some saints. And you say, well, how's that? It's the same thing that happened on the Mount of Transfiguration. And Jenny and I were talking yesterday about that. I'd read the passages about the Mount of Transfiguration numerous times. And then one day it just dawned on me, you know, Peter wasn't really that. Preachers try to paint Peter up as like he was a goofball when he said, you know, we need to build three tabernacles, one for Jesus and one for Moses and one for Elias. And I've heard preachers talk about that like he's stupid. And you listen, that preacher just didn't put himself in Peter's shoes or sandals. His experience was so shallow, he didn't understand that Peter was looking at Jesus, but also Moses and Elijah glorified.
Amen.
And to a human mortal who hasn't seen that before, you have to at least understand that he would look at them and almost think they were gods. Because, and the other thing was, the Bible doesn't say there was a sign hanging on their neck that said, I am Moses. And Peter had never seen Moses before. He'd never seen Elijah before. And yet it says they knew that they were looking at Moses and Elijah. You say, how's that? I believe that that's what's going to be like for us in heaven. When we are in heaven, no one's going to have to tell us who these people are. We're going to know them. And I believe that's just part of the ability of your glorified brain, if you will. And so forth and so on and what have you. And what I'm saying is as you read the Bible, if you get out of your little shell and really read what's there, there's some fascinating stuff. And every time you go through it, you're going to see it.
Amen.
And now, not every day. There's times where you read it and it'll all be familiar or, you know, nothing really blowing your hair off. But there'll be some days where you just can't wait to talk to somebody about it.
Amen.
Well, it blew part of mine off. No, it's still pretty. I'm forehead bald. I am clean. You have to read your Bible to know what it just did. Amen. So let's begin with the implications of this resurrection we're talking about. Now, some of you may have thought about some of what I'm going to say today. The intent wasn't that everything I say is brand new to you. But take the whole package of what you hear this morning and learn something if you can. I know some of you have arrived, but most of us haven't. And I like to sit there. Sometimes I have Stephen and John teaching, but I sit at home and I listen to other teachers. What's aggravating to me is what John was talking about this morning, when you're hoping to hear something good and all you hear is this garbage.
Yeah. Well, a better translation would be.
Yeah. And, you know, that kind of nonsense. And so you're not going to get that this morning. I'm not going to correct this book one time.
Thank you.
But we do want to think about what it means, the power of his resurrection. Here's the implications. If there's no resurrection, have you ever sat and just thought about this? If there's no resurrection, then at some point, you will cease to exist completely.
Wow.
If there's no resurrection of the body, then that means your soul and spirit's not going to be waiting for your body to be resurrected. You just die. And that's the way atheists like to think of it. They actually like that idea. That's why there's been very few sane atheists through the centuries. We'll see in a minute why that's so insane. That also means if there's no resurrection, then eventually all humans will cease to exist. I got news for you. If you've ever studied what it takes, what it will take for us as humans to ever travel in space and colonize another planet, as they like to talk about, not going to happen. But at some point, that big bright ball in the sky, it's going to go boom. It's not going to explode, but it's going to go boom. And then Earth is going to go into ashes. And all humans will exist, will cease to exist. So what's that mean? There's no memory of your existence. Not only will you cease to exist, it's like you never existed. That's it. If there's no resurrection, then here's your positive thought for the morning. You are meaningless.
Wow.
Yeah. Delete. Yeah. And that's where you, if you don't believe in the resurrection. Now, I'm looking at people who do believe in the resurrection. But when you think of the implications, if there were none, then it ought to spark a real interest and desire for you to build your faith in the reality of the resurrection, not just have some shallow hope. Oh yeah, I've heard that, you know, taught, and I know I've seen that in the Bible, and it's going to happen. No, really have a full understanding, grasp of this thing. Without the resurrection, your existence is meaningless. That's why you look at people who don't believe in the resurrection. And they'll reach a point, and a lot of them will just commit suicide. They'll blow their head off, take a whole bottle of pills. Why not? I mean, if there's no resurrection, and you're really convinced of that, why wouldn't you do that? As a matter of fact, it doesn't make sense to me. If someone doesn't believe there's a resurrection, why would they even continue living? And I think that explains a lot of there's a skyrocketing suicide rate right now among millennials and teens. And then you have the veterans. And now, there's a small number of those who may be believers and suffered brain trauma. But a lot of those veterans, you'll find they have this hopelessness. They don't have the hope of the resurrection. So there's no meaning and no reason to go on. And you take these kids like the ones out in Colorado that went in and shot the school up and killed a bunch of kids. You know why they did that? Because they didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe there was any implications. And they just thought, why not go out in a blaze of glory? And my question really isn't, you know, people sit back and say, oh, how could that happen? How could these things happen? And I just keep my mouth shut because during times when that happens, it's not time for debate. But I sit there thinking to myself, every time there's one of these big events, like the church shooting in Texas, that man rejected the biblical doctrine of the resurrection. So why not go in and blow a bunch of church people away and be famous? The only reason not is because that man woke up in hell.
Yeah. Amen.
And there is a resurrection. And he's going to pay, not for shooting people, he's going to pay for rejecting Jesus Christ for eternity.
Amen.
But if you are able to get that out of your mind and not live with those implications, why not? And so I think, why doesn't that happen more often? I mean, it tells me a lot of these professing atheists and people in these different philosophies, you know, there's nihilism and existentialism and objectivism and all these isms, and Marxism is the same, political philosophy, the same thing. And they all are in that big pool of rejection of the bodily resurrection. So you wonder about Lenin and Stalin. And you wonder about Hitler. And you wonder about Pol Pot. And you wonder about these mass murderers. And I don't know that Hincho Min and all these Chinese, Mao Zedong, I know is the first big one, I think, after the revolution. They've killed hundreds of millions of people combined. You take all these, I don't know what the number is. Charlie, you have any idea, or Stephen, off the top of your head, what the number is that these Marxist political leaders have killed? 22 million by one of them. So easily over 100 million people.
It's comparable with malaria.
And you're like, why would they do that? And you're like, why not?
The psalmist said he devoted to the fear of God.
Yeah. And those who are of the Marxist philosophy are not. They have no fear of God because they have no fear of the resurrection, no fear of judgment. See those implications? So no resurrection, no meaning. No resurrection, no meaning. you saw it here first. That's a bumper sticker, but it usually says, no Jesus, no peace, no Jesus, no peace. Very, very clever. But this isn't Gregology you're hearing this morning. Paul makes this point very clear in his epistle to Corinth, and I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to park here for a little while. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. I'll give you a second to turn there. First Corinthians 15. We can just call this the resurrection chapter. And you can just turn to this anytime you want to read about the resurrection and meditate on the wonder and amazement of the resurrection. And we're going to hop here and there. We don't have time for the whole chapter. But beginning of verse 12, listen to what Paul says. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Stop for a second. You realize he's writing to a church. There were people in that church who were saying there's no resurrection. This morning, you could visit every church in Worthington, Ohio, and at least close to a majority would not believe in the bodily resurrection as taught in Scripture. And if you take the churches across the United States of America, easily more than half of those churches do not believe in a resurrection. That's why they just take what they want out of the Bible and throw out what they don't want. Because if you don't have a resurrection, why not? Let's let monkeys preach. Yeah, why not? They're our cousins. See the implications? Look at verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? In other words, why would Christ be risen if he wasn't going to raise anybody else? It'd be a waste of time. It just the bottom line is, it just didn't happen. If you don't believe in a resurrection, then you can't believe in Christ's resurrection, because the reason Christ rose was to defeat death, hell, and the grave on your behalf. So if there's no resurrection, it has to be because Christ was not risen. Look at verse 14. Read that with me. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. And that tells you, first of all, every church that denies the resurrection is vain. Everything they do is vain. And as a professing Christian, if you do not believe in the resurrection, you have to understand, you're wasting your time here. You're wasting your time reading the Bible, praying, coming to church, or anything. It's vain. And that's the implication that Paul lays out right here in your Bible. If there is no resurrection, that means the apostles are all liars, because they all preach the resurrection. You say, well, what about those churches that say there is no resurrection? What do? They're liberals. They're theological, political liberals, do the same thing. The theological liberals, we'll call them, they change the Bible and change the language anytime they don't like what it says. I listened to a guy in a debate one time. He was from Duke University debating Dr. Walter Martin. And with all of his flaws, Dr. Walter Martin was a Bible believer to an extent. He wasn't King James, but he did believe the fundamentals. And he believed in the gospel, and he believed in the bodily resurrection, and he took on this Duke professor. And this Duke professor would say, "You have falsely accused me. You say I do not believe in the resurrection, but I do." And then he would explain what he meant. And Walter Martin would get up and say, "Now, what you just heard was a load of garbage." He just used words that he defines differently than you, because he knows by doing so, you won't understand that what he just did was actually deny the bodily resurrection. But he used words in a way that made it sound like he actually believed in the resurrection. But he didn't. And that's how liberals work. And if you believe the Bible, then you know that the apostles all preached the bodily resurrection. And if there is no resurrection, they're all liars. Jesus was not resurrected. We saw that in what we just read. That would mean that there's no hope. You are not going to be saved. No one's going to be saved. And that would also mean that Jesus would have to have been a liar. If there's no resurrection, that would make Jesus a liar. And then you just have to settle on the fact we're all doomed. You see, now it's kind of like this. We can show pictures of the Grand Canyon. We can talk about it. Some of you have been there, you can describe it. I've never been there. That's all. But there's nothing like, and I know this, even though I haven't been there, but there's nothing like you being there.
Amen.
Then I've heard that there's this place where you can walk out on glass and look down into the canyon under your feet. Some of you are started shaking just thinking about it. You see, that's what we're talking about here with the resurrection. There are many Christians who can paint a picture, tell you stories, but they don't really meditate on it and go to the edge and look down when it comes to the resurrection. And when you do that, and you really let this sink in, without the resurrection, we have nothing. And Paul says he wants to know him and the power of his resurrection. Not just the basic truth and fact of his resurrection, but the power of his resurrection. Look at verse 15 where we left off. He's talking about the apostles here. And he says, "Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins." And he, look what he says in verse 18. "Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." If there's no resurrection, I'll never see Grandpa Miller again. Never see my great-grandpa Frazee. You'll never see Elvis again. I knew that would wake some of you up. If there's no resurrection, we're never going to see our departed loved ones again. And when you leave, you know, because when there's a funeral and someone's saved, we can always preach and say, it's only temporary. You're saying goodbye for now. If there's no resurrection, go up there and kiss that corpse goodbye. You ain't never seeing them again. I have to write whole new sermons for funerals. That's the implications. A little reality check here. If this life is all you got and you're honest with yourself about that, life is a miserable waste of our time and effort.
Yep.
And so when you look around, you see a lot of these people just smoking pot and dying. I mean, that's all their life is. They just smoke pot until they die. Or drunks, they get drunk till they die. Or people are just trying to get all the flesh that they can get, all the sex and all the good times. And, you know, these guys that are out there, we like to celebrate the extreme sports stars, you know, and they're climbing, you know, rocks and they fall to their death. There's two or three just this last year who did that. Fell to their death. And everybody says, oh, they did what they loved. And at least they died doing what they loved. They died, they loved falling to their death. I don't think that's how they died. They were doing what they loved, but that's not how they died. They died going, ah! That's how they died. But you say, well, why do people do that? Why do they chase that? They call it the adrenaline rush, you know, right? Because most of them, now there might be a Christian in there once in a while. I'm not, and that seems crazy to me, but I'm not going to write them all off. But most of them, I've heard in interviews, they are like into creation and the universe. Tracy knows what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Oh, the universe. I'm one with the universe. I'm going to go out and kiss the rocks, you know. And that's why they're going for whatever adrenaline rush and thrill they can get in this life. And if they die young, oh, well, why does it matter one way or the other? They're just going to be oblivion. And so that explains that. And so that's why you find, and people always go to extremes. You have one extreme that goes to the adrenaline rush. The other just says, yeah, might as well just watch TV. You know, and you go knock on the door, hey, I'm from Bible Believers Fellowship. Yeah, I'll take whatever you got. I got to get back to my TV program or my video game, you know. They shut the door on your face. See them all the time, especially the millennials. They've been robbed of their hope. And they have been robbed. Look at verse 19. Read that with me. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I mean, what is that? You know, oh, Jesus is my best friend. He's going to take me through this life until I die, and then that's it. I mean, You noticed that when you go to pseudo-Christian cults that have this liberal ideology, or you go to, I'm not suggesting you join, but if you were to go to a Masonic Lodge meeting, if you go to different temples and things, they have very little music. They don't have hymn books with 500 and some hymns in them. Why? What are they going to sing about? You know? Are they going to join hands and sing about how wonderful it is that we're about to cease to exist for eternity? Oh, oblivion, we're all going to die. You know, what are you going to sing about? You look in that hymn book, it's filled with songs about the resurrected Christ. Songs about the fact he saved you. Songs about the fact he's going to take you to heaven to be with him. He's going to rule on the earth. All these great, wonderful promises we have, which are meaningless and mean nothing if there is no resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus, by the way, is the basis for our resurrection. It's a historical fact. We have presented the evidence in previous studies. They're available online. We're not going to take time to do that this morning. But you have...
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.